Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Catherine Levesque. I know it's been a long time since I last did my podcast, but hey, things have been busy, so what can I say? We are going to talk today about readers. Hey, as an author, that is the core of your existence. That is the core of your business. If you don't have readers, you really don't have anything at all. They are what make us who we are, and they are to be treated like gold. At least that's my opinion. And I do a lot, really, to make my readers feel like they are important to me, because they are. You know, if I can write a gazillion books, but if I don't have a reader, then I don't have an audience, and consequently, I don't have a business. So it's really important to understand your readers and to make sure you are doing all you can to please them. However, there's a fine line there. I am the first one to say, when I write for me. I write a book that I want to write or would want to read. What I never do is write for my readers. You can't do it. You absolutely can't do it, because everybody's going to have a different opinion. And as an author or as an entertainer or as anybody that's in the public eye or any kind of a business like that, you know that you can't please all the people all the time. You know, that's just a given. So, you know, for new and fledgling authors, when we talk about readers and we talk about how to make them happy, you really have to understand you cannot make them all happy. You just can't do it. And if you try, you're going to make yourself crazy, and you're going to end up just, you know, blowing a gasket, basically. So my strongest advice to new authors when they are writing is write for yourself. Pardon me. Write something that you would want to read. And that's really the whole basis of my writing and how I started to write. So let's talk a little bit about my writing and how I think, how I try to, I don't want to say peg my readers, but understand them. I really want to try to understand them. When I first started writing, I really, like I said, wrote for me. I wrote books that I liked to read. And I still do. I still write books that I love to read. There has been one occasion, and only one, where I wrote a book that I felt was really an out-of-the-box kind of book. It had an out-of-the-box ending. But this was my first lesson, and luckily I'm a quick learner. This was my first lesson in never screw in romance. Never screw with a reader's happily ever after. And you're going to see that a lot. You know, you'll see people referring to an HEA. That's what it is, happily ever after. Don't ever screw with that. Because readers are reading your romance book to feel good, to have a happy ending. You know, that's their fairy tale. So when you mess with that formula, it kind of throws them into a loop. Now, the book I'm talking about was originally titled For Love and Honor. It was a book about a gal who was, that's modern terminology, a lady who was a niece of the kingmaker, Richard Neville. And she met a foot soldier for Edward IV, and they embarked on this torrid affair. Now, the whole point of the book was it was never meant to be. It was just an affair. It was never a love story, and it was a love story, but it was never a love that could have existed or could have lasted back in that day and time because of their social standings. And throughout the entire story, I had a secondary knight who was kind of a bodyguard to her. He really worked for her uncle, but he had seen her grow up. He had fallen in love with her long ago, and he was kind of watching her go through this torrid affair with this foot soldier, and just, you know, he was crushed by it. So there was this whole underlying, longing subplot. So in the very end, the woman had to make the choice between love or honor, hence the title, For Love or Honor, For Love and Honor. And she chose honor, which was to not marry the foot soldier and to marry this knight who had been loving her for so long. And you know, it's really interesting. Readers either loved it or they hated it. You know, and it was a really polarizing book, and it was perhaps the most polarizing book I ever had. So I watched the reviews, and it was just split down the middle. And so I finally thought, you know what? I screwed with people's HEA. I screwed with their happily ever after, and they're not happy. Most of them aren't happy, or half of them aren't happy. Those aren't great odds to me. So I pulled the book, and I sat on it for about a year because my mantra, and any author's mantra, again, as I said, should be never let your readers tell you how to write. Don't let them tell you how a story should go. That's your deal. So I sat on it for about a year, and I finally thought, you know what, I'm going to have to do something with this because it's a good story. It was a good story. It just didn't have the results that I had hoped it would have. So I ended up writing a secondary ending. So I had the original ending where she ended up with this knight and the secondary ending where she ended up with a hero. And I republished the book. It's called Valiant Chaos because it really is chaotic and it is valiant at times what they're trying to achieve. But, you know, their valiant efforts at a love affair just created chaos. So that's really why I called it Valiant Chaos. And, you know, it's funny. It's one of my more popular books now because it's got the dual endings to it. So the reason why I'm telling you this story is because that's the one and only time where I really sat back and I went, you know what, maybe there is a reason that I need to listen to my readers at this point, at this stage, at least for this book. So there are times when listening to your readers can be very valuable, and it does make sense. But I don't advocate that as the basis for your writing career. Obviously you are catering to them. You want them to be happy, and you don't want them to go, you know what, she screwed up the last book with no happily ever after, so I don't know if I'm going to buy her again. And, you know, as an author of 75 published novels, my 75th is actually publishing in June, I have got my share of reviews, and I probably have more reviews than most authors on Amazon just simply because of the volume of my book, of how many books I have. So I am really in tuned with reviews, and I understand one thing about them. They are subjective. So to new authors who write a book and, you know, say you get a bad review, you know, it's just going to happen. And I don't want to sound jaded about it, but you cannot let it destroy your life. I've seen too many authors get carried away. Oh, my God, I got a bad review. You know, it's the end of my life. You know what? It's not. It's not the end of your life. I've gotten some really hurtful ones, but you have to understand that sometimes people just, you know, they write reviews because they can. They write reviews because they can hide behind the computer and write it under a pseudonym, and they can totally tear you apart because they can. And, you know, usually I just have to sit back and go, okay, you know what, this person must be just really unhappy. Or because sometimes when you get the reviews that are just really, really nasty, you have to learn to step back and not take it personally. Now, that being said, if I get a bad review or a negative review or a so-so review that is constructive, you know what? I'm all for that, and you should be too. Don't let it pull you down. Readers do have opinions. Readers are seeing a side of your book that you're not, for the most part. So if you get a 3-star review and the guy says, or the lady, and she says, you know, I felt that this heroine was weak. I didn't like the way she cried all the time. Listen to that. Now, you can't go back and change the book that they're criticizing or, you know, writing a critique on, but a review on, but you can use that for your next book. And just be aware, because authors do get in ruts. I get in a rut. Everybody gets in a rut. Sometimes you write about a heroine who, or you write 2 or 3 or 4 books, and in each one of them, the heroine is kind of the same version of a character that you maybe wrote before because you're comfortable with it. And it's something that you like to write about. But if somebody has written a review and said, hey, you know, I don't like this spineless heroine, or I don't like a heroine who's too bratty, or I don't like a heroine who is, you know, too much of a snot. She's fighting all the time. She's always arguing. You know, that's something you can pay attention to a little bit and just keep it in mind. I have found that my readers like strong heroines, and I think all writers, or all readers to a certain extent, like strong heroines. I think the days of the weak damsel in distress are gone, and I think that nowadays, given just, you know, the political climate and just the way things are, readers really like a strong heroine. They like an empowered woman, and I hesitate to use that word, but that's really what they like. They like a woman that's empowered. Now, when you write historical romance, that's a little tricky because back in the day, women weren't really empowered. There was no such thing. They were chattel for the most part. So you can write a strong woman who knows her place in medieval society, or you can write about, you know, a strong woman in Regency society who, you know, breaks out of the norm or whatever, but you have to be realistic about it. You have to keep it within context of that historical setting. Contemporary novels, you know, that's completely different because we're talking about this day and time, and there's a certain expectation as to how heroines will be and what readers will accept. So just, you know, keep that in mind when writing heroines. Are there rules for writing historical romance versus writing contemporary romance? Absolutely. And I just discussed that as far as making sure you have a strong heroine within the context of your historical setting. Readers don't really understand that. The savvy historical romance reader will understand that. But if you've got contemporary readers or young readers who really don't understand that women were chattel back in that day, you know, you may run into some issues. But going back to the understanding you're reading your readers and reading your own reviews, take that into account when you read a 3-star review saying, oh, she was weak. Well, you know what? Maybe she really wasn't weak. It was just maybe the reader didn't quite understand what you were trying to get across. And there's nothing you can do about that, really. But so I guess the whole point is of this is, yes, listen to your readers, but only to a certain extent. You must, without fail, when you are writing, follow your heart. That's the main thing. Follow your heart. Follow what you know is right as the writer. Follow what your genre dictates. And that's why I always tell new writers, understand your genre. Understand what you're writing before you write it. Regency is one of the trickiest genres to write in because there are so many rules and terms for that genre. So if you're going to write Regency, understand Regency. If you're going to write Viking, understand Viking. Understand the history of it. You know, just jump on Wikipedia, for God's sake, and just read it, understand it. Do your research. Writing medieval, same thing. Understand your genre. So I think if you really understand your genre and you consequently understand your craft, understand how to write a book, understand the English language, understand how to put it down onto paper. I think if you understand these things and you write from the heart and you write for yourself, I think that your readers will come. I believe that. And in my case, that has been the truth. And I'm really just so incredibly grateful that my readers love what I write and they inspire me to do what I do. And I hope that as a fledgling writer, you find that same fellowship and you find that same support. And this is why we do what we do. So I think my time is coming to a close here. And I just thank you so much for coming and joining me today. And as always, if you have any questions, I'm always available by email, Catherine@CatherineLevesque.com. And I look forward to hearing from you. And good luck with your continued writing and your continued success with bonding with your readers. Have a great day.